surrounding quadrangle. So there's a group of verses, if someone wants to read about the nature of this description of the spiritual world, they can read from the Adi Lila, chapter 5, from verse 17 to about verse 40. There's many verses that describe the nature of the spiritual world. So I wrote a couple down here in my notes. Tahara upari bhaga krishna loka kyati dwaraka matura gokula tri vidatve stiti. In the highest region of the spiritual sky is a spiritual planet called Krishna Loka. It has three divisions, Dwarka, Mathura, and Gokul. So that's 16 and then 17. Savopari Shri Gokula, Vraja Loka Dham, Shri Goloka Shweta Dvipa, Vrindavana Dham, Vrindavana Nam. So Shri Gokul is the highest of all. It is also called Vraja, Goloka, Shwetadweep, and Vrindavan. So the previous verse explains that the highest place in the spiritual world is known as Krishna Loka. Then Krishna Loka has three divisions, Dwarka, Mathura, and Vrindavan. But here it says Gokul. Then the next verse it says that Gokul has four divisions, right? Shri Gokul, which is the highest of all, in other words, it's higher than Mathura and higher than Dwarka, it has four divisions, Vraja, Golok, Shwetadweep, and Vrindavan. So we'll discuss about that. As Vrindavan is aprakrita, which means is not manifest, Vrajabhumi. In Goloka there is a Vrindavan, and there is a Vrindavan here, which is a manifestation of that Vrindavan. Both Vrajabhumi here in this land and at Vrindavan, they're the same. Now, there's some slight difference. In Goloka, in the spiritual world, there's two divisions. One is Vrindavan and one is Shwetadweep. That Shwetadweep is manifested within the material universe as what? Yeah, it's Mayapur, but that's not the material universe, that's the spiritual world. But that Shwetadweep comes down, as Vrindavan comes down, that Shwetadweep. But there's also an expansion of Shwetadweep, which is in the material world. Sometimes it says that, Dhruvaloka. It means where Shirdakshay Vishnu lives, right? Sometimes it's the same, Dhruvaloka is the same. But I think Dhruvaloka is the pole star, and above the pole star is, it's called Shirdakshay, like Shwetadweep, just like we read in the Krishna book, there were disturbances of demons, we're reading about the advent of Krishna, now it's coming Krishna's birthday. So Brahma, he was disturbed, so he went to see Vishnu, and he prayed. He stood on the shore of the ocean of milk, right? Shweta means the white planet, the ocean, Shirdakshay Loka. It's where Shirdakshay lives. Just like there's a super soul within our body, and the body's like a mini universe with so many stars in the forms of cells and molecules and so many planets and organs and like that. So then the whole universe itself, there's a super soul for the universe. There's Shirdakshay in every atom, there's Shirdakshay in every living entity, and there's a super soul for the whole universe known as Shirdakshay Vishnu, right? And he has an abode, and his abode is called Shwetadweep. And Brahma, he goes there in the Bhagavatam, and he stands on the shore of the ocean, right? The milk ocean. Kira Dakshai Vishnu. Kira means milk, right? Milk is white, right? Shwetadweep. So he stands there, and then by transmission, he doesn't get darshan, he doesn't have darshan of Shirdakshai Vishnu, but he has antar drishti. It says that he has the ability at least to have a spurti, to have a spurti from Shirdakshay Vishnu, whereas Shiva and Indra and the other 33 crores of demigods, they don't have that, they don't have a STD in their houses. You know, he has like the STD line. You know STD? He can make the direct line. So Indra, Chandra, anyone wants to make a direct call to Shirdakshay, they have to go to Brahma. Then Brahma goes there and they all assemble with him and offer prayers. What are those prayers called? Purusha Shukta. To the Purusha, right? He's one of the Purusha avatars. Shirdakshay Vishnu, Garbhadakshay Madhush. So they all pray, and then Brahma, he's in meditation. Then in his mystic meditation, a message is transferred. It's almost just like telepathy, what we call. You know, he's channeling. He's channeling for Shri Akshay Vishnu. He gets the message imprinted within his heart, or like a fax message or something in his heart. And then he passes on the word. He says, "Oh, everything's cool. Just relax. Everything's all right." You know, there's incarnations coming. Shri Lakshmi's given us the news that there's the avatar. The doorway is just the passage through which the avatar enters. Like if someone walks in the room, you say, "Oh, he entered through that doorway." Oh, is the door the cause of his entering the room? Well, not exactly. You know, his cause of entering the room is his desire. He wanted to enter the room, but the means by which he entered the room is through the door. So Shirdakshay is sometimes called the entrance way, but some people, you know, philosophers, they say Shirdakshay is more than Krishna or more than Brahma, because the incarnations, they come from him. It's some technical point, which we may discuss later. At any rate, excuse me? Where is the ocean of milk on Shweta Dweep? Shirdakshay. Shweta Dweep means Shirdakshay Loka. Or Shirdakshay, this is what we're describing. And that Shweta Dweep comes down. Shweta Dweep is manifested within the material universe in the milk ocean, right? Shiradadi. And it's called Shweta Dweep. Where the super soul of the universe resides, and he's known as Shirdakshay Vishnu. This is the Vishnu form who Lord Brahma visits Arisoda. In the spiritual world, Shweta Dweep means the abodes in the spiritual world, which this verse is talking about, verse number 5. Shweta Dweep refers to the abodes of Mathura and Dwarka. Okay? These are the places of residences for Krishna's Chaturvyuha expansions. Right? Because we said in this verse 5, this is what the verse is talking about, is that Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, they reside in these four different places. This known as Shweta Dweep, the quadrangular area in the four places around Gokul, Sri Gokul, which has four divisions, Vrindavan, Braja, etc. So in these four places, represent the abodes of Krishna's expansion, just like when Krishna, anyway, we'll read it and we can digest it more. In this verse, if you read the Sanskrit in this verse 5, it says that, talks about Chaturmurti, right? So these are the abodes of Krishna's Chaturvyuha, known as, okay. So also, this is confirmed in the Adi Lila chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, which I didn't write down, but you can see. It says that Dwarka and Mathura both are one, and that the Chaturmurti, which is referred to in this verse, is expansions of Krishna. The four is Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. So these four expansions, they live in these places. They enjoy pastimes both in Dwarka and Mathura. See, what we have to understand, what we will understand from hearing from Jiva Goswami, is that Dwarka and Mathura are basically the same. They're very much the same. And you'll hear in this description. So these expansions of Krishna as Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, they enjoy pastimes in Dwarka and Mathura. Mathura is manifested as Dwarka. Mathura and Dwarka are basically the same thing. In Mathura, Krishna is known as Vasudev Krishna. Right? He appeared in Mathura as the son of Devaki and Vasudev. And how many arms did he have? Four arms, right? So the son of Vasudev is known as Vasudev Krishna. He has four arms. And how many arms he has in Dwarka? He has four arms in Dwarka in public. Vishwanath Chakravartipad, he says that in public, when he goes to Siddharma assembly, or when he goes to kill, you know, Pondraka or all these kind of demons, you know, Shalva and this one, Dantavakra and all these different demons, in Dwarka Leela, then Krishna has Chatur Bhuj, four arms, as he does in Mathura and Dwarka, four arms. But when he goes, he's walking on the road with four arms, and he expands himself into 16,000 forms, 108 forms. And once he enters into the palace, when he's with Rukmini and Satyabhama and Mitravinda and all the different queens, Kalindi, then the two arms go away. He hangs them up on the side or whatever. You know, they go inside, and then it's only two arms. So whenever you see paintings of, you know, Rukmini's fanning, you know, Krishna with a chamar, and she's about to faint when he's playing, joking with her about he married the wrong person and all that, then you see that Dwarkadish has two arms, right, in the painting. I don't know, maybe the new painters are painting four arms, but he's supposed to have two arms. I don't know about the new, there's some new paintings from Europe or whatever, but the old paintings have two arms. Gautier's correct, in that private palace setting. And just like Rukmini, when Rukmini comes out in public, when the queens come out in public, they also have four arms. It's not only Narayan, it's the queens also. Durga in the material world, she has an eight-arm form, a ten-arm form. But in Sudharma assembly, Krishna, and if he had any functions, any royal functions, or jagyas, etc., then they manifested four arms. Kurukshetra is... Everyone knows what Kurukshetra is all about and the gopis, and so we see, let's use some philosophical speculation, right, which is permissible by the Vaishnavas based on Shastra. When Krishna had his vasana, this is a really interesting class, because, you know, there's a basic rough outline I have, and we kind of go in different tangential points. But basically the idea is this, that we're trying to become devotees of Krishna, and we want to hear something about Krishna and remember Krishna and appreciate the beauty and opulence and greatness and sweetness and all the aspects of Krishna. Is it right? Everyone agrees? So during Vasant Ras and Govardhan, the gopis, they dance at the Rasastali on the tail end there of Govardhan, the beautiful Rasastali. And then they get a little fatigued, so there's no Yamuna over there. Of course, there was Yamuna there in those days, but they went to Chandra Sarovar, and then they would bathe in Chandra Sarovar, and the moon was there. And when the moon saw Krishna splashing with the gopis, and he became completely totally in ecstasy. He couldn't move from that place. He was stunned. He was exhibiting sattvic bhavs. Stambha is one of the sattvic bhavs. So the moon was stunned, and he was observing this beautiful, sweet pastime of Krishna and the gopis refreshing themselves after the rasa dance. It's called Chandra Sarovara. So then at that time, Krishna was playing in one of his moods. So sometimes Radharani would leave the rasa dance, and Krishna would run behind her. Sometimes Krishna would leave. So this time he left the rasa dance in Vasant Ras, and this is described also in... Gita Govinda by Jayadeva Goswami. This was Vasant Ras. And then Krishna went to a place called Peta, and he was hiding there in the different kunjas over there, and the gopis were looking, hey, Krishna Kaniya Kaha, Krishna Kanu Kaha, you know, where's Kanu, where are you? They're looking for him here and there in different parties. So then they came over there, and then Krishna saw the gopis coming, and they were coming very close to his hiding place, and then he manifests his Chaturbhuj Narayan form. Right? Just like Dwarkadish. Vasudev, Krishna, forms. And then gopis came and said, oh, Namo Narayan. Namo Narayan. Where's Krishna? Have you seen Shama Sundar? Where's Damodar Madhav? We're missing him. Oh, I think, you know, he went that way. And all the forearms, you know, whew, you know, they went over like that. Pointed in that way. Very emphatically. So, okay, fine. But then Lalita came with Vishaka and Radharani. Her paksha, her party came. And then Krishna was there with his four arms, you know, his Chaturbhuj Narayan. But in the presence of Radharani, in the presence of her Mahabhav, of her intense love and separation, then Krishna, he couldn't keep his two arms. Of course, that's the form of Alanath. Alanath in Puri is that form of Chaturbhuj Narayan, who has dropped his two arms, and he has four arms, but that's a whole other tattva. About the Alanath deity, why Lord Chaitanya went there and what his experience was during the Navakalevaram ceremony. But that deity of Alanath is in the mood of Chaturbhuj Narayan from Peta and Vrindavan. So anyway, so when Radharani was there, then he lost the two arms and became Shamsundar. So applying that lila, that's called Rasavichar, Pranad rasa vichara, it also includes tattva vichara, or the truth of the siddhanta of philosophy. We can apply it to a particular situation which we're trying to understand, which is Parvati's question about whether Krishna leaving Dwarka in a public assembly with elephants and ministers and Ugrasena and everybody going to a public yajna at Kurukshetra, whether he manifested four arms or two arms. I would suppose I would understand that when he arrived there, maybe he had four arms. But in the presence of Radharani, and the Brijvasi's love, like Mother Yashoda, when he came before Mother Yashoda, because he greeted personalities at different times and different places, and there's very, very, very long, extensive purports by Vishwanath and Jiva and Sanatan about this whole pastime of Kurukshetra, which we have like a little bit of few eyedroppers worth in our Bhagavatam. But there's long, long purports describing all the relationship, how Krishna melted in the arms of Mother Yashoda, and then went from Mother Yashoda, from one bhav to one bhav, gradually went from one rasa to the other rasa as he greeted different friends and old friends from Mathura and Vrindavan. Then finally went to the gopis and Radharani. So this is all described there in the verses and in the purports. So it seems to indicate that these Vrindavan meetings were all two-arm functions. They were definitely, Krishna with two arms. That's what I can understand. Is that okay? In Mathura, Krishna is known as Vasudev Krishna, or Yadu Kumar, the son of Vasudev and Devaki. This Vasudev Krishna manifests pastimes in Mathura and Dwarka. The associates of Krishna and Mathura, who are they? Uddhava, Balaram, Rohini, Vasudev, Devaki, Akrura. They go with Vasudev Krishna when he goes to Dwarka. Right? And it's described in our Bhagavatam is that they take rest one night in Dwarka. All the associates in nice palaces. They take rest at night with Krishna and all the different devotees in their nice Mathura palaces, and they rest very soundly. Then when they wake up, they're in Dwarka, in palaces in Dwarka, because Krishna has transported everyone comfortably and effortlessly. You lie down and take rest. Leave the driving to us, right? It's like you go to sleep in one place. Imagine that. It's kind of like you get on the train. You go to sleep in Calcutta, and you wake up in Jagannath Puri, right? So they went to sleep in Mathura and they woke up in Dwarkapuri. This is Krishna's inconceivable power and potency. So there they all were. They were all there in Dwarka, right? Akrura with the Shamantaka jewel episode and that whole thing. Uddhava. So Dwarka and Mathura are the same level, but the pastimes like Krishna's Janma Leela or birth are not in Dwarka. A different form of Krishna lives in Vrindavan as the son of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. Vrindavanam Prityaja Ekapadam Nagachati. Right, this famous shloka from Padma Puran. Prityaja means to renounce or reject. Vrindavanam Prityaja Ekapadam Nagachati. That Krishna, he doesn't leave, he doesn't renounce Vrindavan for Ekapadam Nagachati. He doesn't take one step outside of Vrindavan. Not one. He gets all the way to the Akrura Ghat and says, oh, that's far enough. This is the city limits. This is as far as we go. We take a bath here and we do a little mystic illusion on you, Mr. Akrura, and that's that. And you don't know whether you've got forearm, you don't know whether you have an Antashesh or Krishna or Balaram or what you've got. You look in the chariot, you look in the water, you see Vishnu with four arms sleeping on an Antashesh, and you say, wait a minute, what's that? This Krishna and Balaram, that's them or their expansions? Because he's very learned in all the Vedas. He knows all these tattvas and everything. He said, wait a minute, what am I seeing? Anyway, let me go back to the chariot. No, the boys are on the chariot. Let me go back to the water. Well, wait a minute. So that, so in Krishna's mystic illusion of Yoga Maya, Akura was completely bewildered. So that's who he took to Mathura. He took Vasudeva Krishna and Ananta Shesh. And Krishna and Balaram, they just went arm in arm, laughing, you know, laughing on their way back to Nandagaon, and just thinking, wow, we really fooled that guy. You know, he's that guy, that old Uncle Akura. But we, just like some kids, sometimes they play a joke on their uncle. You know, they disguise themselves or they do some, you know, some kind of joke. So Krishna and Balaram, they're dear Lalita, dear Datta. You know, this is their wonderful, sweet personalities. They're very funny and clever and comical. So they pulled what they say in English, they say they pulled the wool over his eyes. They bewildered him, bamboozled him, fooled him. You know, he thought, hey, I've got him, see? Kamsa, you sent me to get Krishna and Balaram. Here they are, you know. Oh yeah, well, looks kind of like them. Yeah, okay, go in there and fight Chandra and Mustika and all these guys. Oh, pop, pop, you know, two. No, but that was not Krishna and Balaram. That was Ananta Shesh and Vasudeva Krishna. But this is Padma Puran, and so many places have similar verses like that. The Krishna doesn't take a step outside. Govinda, Nanda, Nanda, and Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Vrindavan Krishna always has two arms. But in Mathura prison, Krishna is four-armed. Vasudeva Krishna. Vasudeva Krishna is an expanded form of Krishna. He's not the Swayam Rup, or the original form. Because Dwarka and Mathura are so similar, the same personalities move back and forth between Dwarka and Mathura. Their residences are on different sides of the quadrangle, which is what this verse is talking about. The quadrangle is four. That on your yantra, right? This yantra, this is the Gopal mantra. It's a yantra for Gopal mantra, and also includes the spiritual world in it. I gave this out. This quadrangle, right? Quadrangle, four sides. This is up, upside. So this is Klim and the Gopal mantra, and this is, well, there it is. This is the abode of Radha and Krishna, and it has the four divisions. There's Gokul, and there's Braja, and then there's Golo, you know, in there, that will describe that. So this is the quad, these are the four, the quadrangular areas. The whole thing is a little square around this whole circle. So here is Vasudeva, Sankarshana, Aniruddha, Pradyumna. Right, so this, these places, because this is the inner core, and these petals here are the gopis, the abodes of the gopis. This whole thing, this flower and this Star of David, this Satkon, it's called Satkon, six-sided triangle, the six-sided, six-pointed star. This and this whole thing in the center, this is, that's the Gopal mantra, yantra, this whole thing here. And then this is the abode of Radha and Krishna and the coward boys and all the Brijvasis. But then beyond that, this is where the Dwarka and Mathura are residing. These four places. Shwetadweep. Because just like when you read about Dwarka Leela, you read about Pradyumna is there. You know, Vasudeva is there as Vasudeva Krishna. And Sankarshan is there as the expanded form of Balaram. Ananta Shesh. That's like when Balaram leaves Dwarka, he leaves by Ananta Shesh. Out of his mouth comes Ananta Shesh, and he goes back to the spiritual world. Because he is a form of Ananta Shesh. I mean, Ananta Shesh expansion in Dwarka. Because the original Balaram, the Dauji's in Vrindavan with Krishna. He doesn't take a step outside. So Krishna expands into his Mathura forms and Dwarka forms. Balaram expands into his Mathura forms and Dwarka forms. And the Astasakis, they don't take a step outside. They expand into Dwarka and their other forms. Just like Jamuna Devi, she's here. But then when Arjuna and Krishna come to the banks, and there's this whole Leela that she has an expanded form. Yamuna never leaves Vrindavan. Yamuna is actually an expansion of Vishakhasakhi. She's an Amsha Vishakhasakhi. I mean, it gets a little bit, you know, really multi-layered tattva. But at any rate, this is the way it is. So Yamuna is an Amsha, Yamuna Devi in Vrindavan is an Amsha Vishakhasakhi. And then, when for this Leela of marrying or becoming the queen, one of the eight principal queens of Krishna, Kalindi, then Yamuna expands as Kalindi. Then Kalindi goes, you know, Arjuna sees this girl and there's that painting there of this, you know, the painting is in the book. Oh, what is your name? Oh, my name is Kalindi. My home is within the Yamuna. I want Krishna to be my husband, only Krishna. And Krishna says, sure thing, hop on, you know, hop on the chair, you know, and takes her to Dwarka and she becomes one of the queens of Dwarka. So, that's why Then Padmapran, it explains, Padmapran also gives the identities, all the different queens, who they are, and who they are, what sakhi they are in Krishna Leela. I have it written down in my Vrindavan notes, but it's not on top of my head. It's like, Radharani, she expands, and her expanded form in Dwarka is Satyabhama. And Satyabhama had a jewel called the Shamantaka jewel. It's the jewel from Shankachuda that was killed by Krishna, and he gave it to Balaram. Balaram gave it to Madhumangal and Dhanishta, and Dhanishta gave it to Radharani. And then when Krishna went to Mathura, and Radharani was doing Surya Puja, and she was in the water offering in the Yamuna, wanting to drown herself, and offering tarpan. So that jewel, which is the Shankachuda Shiromani, or crest jewel from Shankachuda's, you know, turban or whatever, was hanging around her neck. So when she leaned over like this, it fell off her neck. The necklace is a beautiful, I believe it's a blue sapphire, fell into her hands, and then she went like this. Om Suryaya Namaha. And Surya said, thank you very much, I'll take that. And he put it in his back pocket, right? You know, or whatever. And then he had a little devotee down there in Dwarka land. What was his name? Satyajit, who's a devotee of the sun god. And he's doing so much puja to the sun god. And the sun god says, oh, I'm very happy with you. I'll give you a little present. Here's a jewel. I picked this up in Vrindavan. Here's a jewel for you. Shamantaka. Antaka, the word antaka means forehead. The word antaka means forehead. Well, whose forehead? It comes from the forehead of the Shankachuda. And it was shaped like a conch shell, so it's called shank. But it's sham because it's blue, and blue because it's Nilamani. It's, from what I understand, which is not very much, is that it's a blue sapphire of about 50 carats. Or maybe 100 carats, and it's shaped like a conch shell. And it's so brilliant, and you know, you can read how beautiful it is in the Krishna book. There's three verses in the Sanskrit, how beautiful the Shamantaka jewel is. How effulgent. And that jewel, what does it do? It produces 170 kilos of stool every day. Because the Bhagavatam says that when a person has jaundice, and he's sick, and he passes stool, what color is it? He has too much bile in his, too much pitta. The stool is yellow. Yellow. So what color is gold? Yellow. So in the Bhagavatam it says gold, the gold is no different than yellow stool. Free. Bhagavatam is like, here it is. So this jewel is producing 170 kilos of gold every day. Right? So then that's the whole Leela. So that's all Dwarka. So that Dwarka Leela, it's all connected to the Braj Leela. This is all explained in Lita Madhav by Rupa Goswami. Just like you read Raghunath Das Goswami, his intensity of fanaticism is admirable, admirable. He's so fanatically attached to Vrindavan. He says that, you know, as long as Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, it's fine. But if you say that Radha and Krishna, they've gone somewhere, if actually Radha and Krishna have gone to Vrindavan, okay, I'll leave Vrindavan. I don't care about Vrindavan. I want to be where Radharani is and where Krishna is. I want to do their service. You know, it's like, so Vrindavan, it has meaning. Just like he was saying in Vilap Kusumanjali, he says that if Vrindavan without Radharani, he said, I feel so much separation from Radharani and Krishna that Vrindavan, that Govardhan Hill, to me, Govardhan Hill looks like a huge python. Python's a sarp, a serpent. It looks, you know, because it's a long, you know, black, dark thing. And he said, it looks like a huge python with a gaping mouth waiting to swallow me up. You know, he's like, he's feeling such separation. So ultimately our concern is with these Sri Gokul and Raja Gokul. But it's nice to understand these different tattvas, how they overlap and how there's the similarities and the differences between Mathura and Dwarka. So we can refine our own attachments, our own bhav, our own feelings, and understand what are the nuances and the difference between Braj bhav, Mathura bhav, Dwarka bhav, and the different devotees of those regions and realms, and what they represent, and what it means to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. What does it mean, Vrindavan, and what does it mean, the residents? All these things are required to understand. So So the manifestation of Dwarka Mathura within the material world are facsimiles of the original Dwarka Mathura in Goloka Vrindavan. They are not different. Both are completely eternal and independent of this material energy and spiritual in all respects. Both are transcendental and beyond the touch of the material energy.
Let's read something about Gokul.
Gokul. But this is the center of this whole thing, is Gokul.
We heard about the quadrangular area, the four-sided, the boats surrounding Gokul. Goloka Vrindavan includes the manifest, because this verse I read from Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that there's four divisions
of this center part. So they're basically divisions of pastimes. It depends on the ras, the pastimes Krishna has there in the particular ages. You see in Nectar Devotion, Krishna's life is divided into three transcendental phases. There's Komara Lila, Poganda Lila, and Kaishor Lila. From birth in Gokul to 5, and then from 6 to 10, and 11 to 14, or say 15. One interesting note, which Acharyas tell us in the Bhagavatam, is that in the Padma Puran, they quote this verse, they say, in this world, it is our experience that some exalted personalities, Kshatriyas, Brahmins, or some higher quality, high birth people, very exalted qualities, in other words, Janmaishwarya Shuta Shribir, they've got very high birth, very vast learning, bodily beauty, learning, etc., wealth, opulence, power, that people that are very exalted, they mature at a rate 1.5 times the ordinary people, which means like this. Sometimes you see in your experience, you're in class, and you're in a small class, and there's some boy in the class, he's taller than everyone else, and he's the first one in the class, first one in the school to have a mustache. You know, he's the first one that has enough, male hormones or something to have a mustache. Or there's some girl in the grammar school, she's the first one to kind of show more like womanly features, at a young age. There's like some people, and everyone else is saying, wow, she looks old for her age, or he looks old for his age, or whatever. So we see that in our experience, that normal people, nobody's having, a mustache or whatever, till 2 years later. So Krishna is explained like that. He's an exalted personality. So he exhibits the characteristics 1.5 times his age. So when the Bhagavatam says that there's different ways that we use these parts of our philosophy for preaching to different types of people, and that is the finesse and the expertise of a preacher and the kind of inner balance and mental equilibrium and precision of intelligence and transcendental vision to understand how to inspire the faith of a particular jiva according to his adhikar, which is perceivable to the surrendered soul who is in the army of Lord Chaitanya. So he preaches appropriately according to time, place, and circumstance. The philosophy is one, but its application is many. Medicine is one, but the varieties are many. So therefore, in some cases, we very much assert the point that during Krishna's Rasa Lila, he's only 8 years old, and he's only 8 years old. How can an eight-year-old boy, what can he do with girls? This and that. He's just an innocent little boy. He's dancing with his reflection, his shadow. They're just his expansions. There's no impropriety. There's no nothing. Okay, that's fine for one particular group of people. But then the acharyas who are writing commentaries on these things, now we might have to consider another group of people. They want to ask questions like, well, wait a minute. That I seem to hear a lot more of intimate kind of exchanges here, and I see a lot of things going on that look like adult type things. So then they cite these passages from different shastras to say that when Krishna was 8, he was not 8, but he was 8 plus 4. 1.5 times. You understand maturity. He's 10 years old, but he looks like he's 15. Hey, the kid's 10 years old. He got a mustache and a beard. That's pretty far out, 10 years old. Usually a 15-year-old kid has a mustache and a beard, right? But he's only 10.
hey, well, he's precocious, or, you know, he's advanced, you know, or he's a animal or whatever, he's a monkey or something, gorilla. But so Krishna, when he was 8, he was actually 12, 13, he was a teenager. And teenagers, you know, we know teenagers, they play around, no? Sometimes it... So then it makes, oh, okay, now that makes a little more sense. You know, when he starts saying, because the Bhagavatam says he's 8 years old. You know, 8 years old. Prabhupada's Krishna book says he's 8 years old. And Prabhupada uses that point, that angle of vision, I mean that angle of philosophy, to present, you know, how can you accuse him of impropriety? What has he done? You know, he's below the age of reason, or whatever you call it. He's a little baby. He's only 8 years old. Leave him alone. So Goloka Vrindavan includes manifestations of Braj, Vrindavan, and Gokul, which was what we quoted in that verse, how Sri Gokul has these different divisions. So what is it? What does it mean? What do you mean? Wait a minute. What's this Gokul this and Braj and Braj and Gokul? I thought sometimes you say, oh, I'm going to Braj, or I live in Braj, or I live in Vrindavan, or I live, you know, what? It's all just different names. Now, what do you mean? But actually, these are different names which refer to different regions and refer to different ages of Krishna's pastimes and different exchanges of loving sentiments or rasas and bhavas in those places, at those times, with those associates. So this is how Sanatana Goswami explains in Vaishnava Toshini. So we understand a little bit more about... It's kind of like you know, layer upon a layer upon layer. It just gets, you know, deeper and deeper and deeper. Well, I ask you, where is Gokul? Who's raising their hand? Yeah. No, I'm saying, hey, I come into your class. Hey, I want to go to Gokul. Where's Gokul? Very good. Anybody agree? Yeah. Is there a forest over there? There's supposed to be 12 forests. I heard of something about Dwadasa Van or something, you know. Is there some forest over there, a van?
There's supposed to be, but I haven't seen forests.
Well, yeah, you're not going to see any trees, but... but there is a van called Mahavan. Mahavan is the place of Gokul Lila. The place is called Gokul, and there's where you find Dalji, Krishna's big brother, and you find Krishna, and the grinding mortar, and Ulokal, and all these things, right? Because that's the place of what ras? Vatsalya ras? Mother Yashoda, Yashoda Nandan, playing, crawling, Krishna Kumar, right? The little bells around his waist, and little tiger's claws around his neck, right? To chase away the inauspicious things. And then he's playing over there, just Digambara, he's dressed by the wind, Digambara. So when Krishna, Yashoda Nandan, when he's crawling in a courtyard in Gokul, he's Digambara, because his Sudipta Mahabhav has not his Sudipta Bhav, his love for Radharani has not been exhibited yet. So he's spread throughout the whole directions. His affection is going in all directions. But later, when he comes on this side, Vrindavan's side, and he starts wearing dhoti, then he wears gold and yellow dhoti. That's why in Mayapur, when you go to Mayapur, like I asked one time, I asked Jananivas, I said, you know, the standard in Vrindavan, which Hari Bhakti Vilas gave the Goswami temples, is that the deity should wear the color of the day, of the Ishtadev of that day. So Monday is Somvar's moon is white. Tuesday is Mangalvar is Mars is red, and Budvar is Wednesday is Mercury is green, and like that. And so they all do like that. And same in Jagannath Puri. So then, but you know, of course, ISKCON we do whatever we do. We have our own way, but because we have so many outfits or whatever. But I see here that in Mayapur every single day. The morning outfit in Mangal Arati is different. But every single day, the whole day outfit, the day outfit, every single day, Krishna has some type of yellow outfit on. Because I was there for 3 months one year, and I said, there's something going on here. You please tell me, you're in charge over here. Srijananiva said, oh yeah, see we have some bhav over here. Our bhav is this, is that Krishna is always remembering Radharani. So why should he wear green, or why should he wear blue, or why should he wear some other color? So they have like, you know, orange yellow and golden yellow and yellow and lemon yellow and all different colors, so many shades of gold and yellow that Madhav wears every day. Because he's always absorbed in remembering Radharani's sweet Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye. Hari Priya. So she is very dear to Hari, and so therefore Krishna wears. But Digambara, when Krishna was playing in Gokul, it's Vatsalya Bhav. Where Yashoda could find out Krishna was just by hearing his waist bells, ching, 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 and his ankle bells. So this is Gokul. So now, tomorrow, we'll hear some other places described.
Jai, Jai, Sri Radhe!